Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. Maisa, there was a story, Bekoin Echad, with a coin, Shahayim is Asig, he was working in his work, and the Gemara Yushami explains that a coin who has a blemish, he's a Baal Mum, so he can't do the regular work in the Beis HaMikdash because he has a blemish. So the work of the Kohanim that had a Mum, a blemish, what they would do is they would prepare the wood for the Ma'aracha to be burnt on the altar, on the Mizbeach, and to check them to make sure that there were no worms in them, because you call Eishim Subob Tlum, because any worm, any wood that you found worms in them was puzzle, was invalid for the Mizbeach. So this Kohen was doing his job, you know, he couldn't serve the general services, but he was able to check the wood to make sure there's no worms in them, to make sure they wouldn't invalidate the wood to serve for firewood for the karbanos. The Ra'a Haritzba, and he saw that the floor where he was sitting, she mishchuna mechavrusa, that shlohaisa evan shavu lishar amne ritzba, this tile on the floor was different than the other stone tiles on the floor. And he understood right away that this is the stone that they removed at the time that they hid the Aron. We mentioned in the previous Mishnah that the Aron was hidden, right? When they went into Gullus, they didn't want the Aron to go into Gullus, because if it went into exile, it would never return. So they actually hid the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash. And here's where he hopped right away. He understood that, hey, if this stone is different, it must be the Aron's here. Bav Amala Chavira. So he right away went. Sipolo, he told his friend about this stone that he found in the floor next to the deer ha'etzim. We said by this chamber where they kept the wood that it was different than the rest of the stones in the floor. And he wanted to tell him that in that spot, that's where they hid the Aron. He wants to tell his friend that this is where they hid the Aron. Lo hispig ligmar, it's a sad story. He didn't have time to finish his words. Es hadavar, his words. Ad shiasasa nishmaso. He died before he was able to say where it was. He died. Vodas gala mekoma shall also evan, and the place of that stone was not revealed. V'yadu b'yichud, so then they certainly found out. They knew for sure with clarity, Shishama aronigna, that definitely under the floor of that chamber is where the Aron was hidden, and they see from the story that they knew that, you know, the Aron had to be there because people just don't, Kohanim just die like that. Must have been that Hashem didn't want them to reveal where the actual place was. So they knew it was in that spot, you know, by the chamber of the wood under some stone, but, you know, they're not going to start investigating it because you can't go there. It's the Aron. So that's the story, and it just brings proof that the Aron was hidden in that spot by the chamber of the wood. The deer ate him. Mishnah Gimel. So we had mentioned, Vehechan Hayu Mishtachav, and we mentioned that there were 13 different places they bowed down. We mentioned this in Mishnah Aleph. So Vehechan Hayu Mishtachav, and where were these 13 places that they were bowing down in the Beis HaMikdash? So we said like this, Arba, four of the bowings was Betzafon in the north, Rabba B'Darom, four in the south, Shalosh B'Mizrach, three in the east, Ushtayim B'Marav, and two in the west. Kineged, this is corresponding, Shalosh Asar Sharam, to the 13 gates. So they would bow down, and the Modeh, they would bow down, Al Noy HaBinyan, over the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, at these 13 gates. Ve'elehim Shosha Asar Sharam, these are the 13 gates. So we'll go through the whole list. Sha'arim Deromiyim Smuchin Lamarav, they were southern gates near the west. They were pulled to the side of the west. They were called the Shar HaElyon, the upper gate, meaning it was the gate HaSamach was near the west. Shehar Abayas Hayim Mishtafeh, Ve'yorei Bimar L'Muzach, the Har Abayas, the temple, the Har Abayas went like on a slant from west to east. So that was where the first one was. Shar HaDelek, the second one was called the Shar HaDelek. Shoyu Machnisim Derech Shem Atzei Marach, they'd bring through that gate the wood for the Mizbeach. Shar HaBechoros, the third one is the Shar HaBechoros. It was the gate where they would bring in through there the firstborn of the animals that they would shecht in the south. Shar HaMayim, we'll explain why it was called Shar HaMayim, but this means Gate of the Water. So, V'lomenikur Shemo Shmar Shar HaMayim, the Mishnah asks, why is it called Shar HaMayim, Gate of the Water? Shebo Mechlisim Sloch Shal Mayim Shal Yisach Bechag. The Mishnah answers that it was through this gate that they would bring a flask of water they would use for the Nisach, for the libations, on Chag, on Sukkot, like we'll learn when we get to the Mishnah's Sukkah. They used to bring libations on Sukkot, and they brought it through this gate, these libations of water. Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov Omer, he has a different opinion. Bo Hamayim Mefachim, it is in this gate where the water would heap up. Va'asidin Lios Yotzin, and in the future it will leave out. Mitachas Miftan Abayas, from underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what does this mean? So they explain over here that this is going on in the Navi Yecheskel. He prophesized that v'hinei mayim b'fachem min hakasef hayomanes v'hayne d'ora. So it says that Yechezkel saw, it's a whole pasuk over here, but the point of it is, Yechezkel saw in a prophecy that there would be water leaving the Kodesh Kodashim, and it would be going in like small little trickles. And when we reach this gate, the Shar HaMayim, it would become, you know, a big heap of water. And that's why they called it Mayim Mefachem. Mefachem comes from the word pach, like a big pile. So it has to do with this prophecy. You know, when we get to Yechezkel, we'll learn all about it. But that's why they called it Shar HaMayim according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Moving right along, Lumasa and Betzafon Smuch Lumarav, now opposite in the north, near the west side, Shar Yechanya, there was the gate called Shar Yechanya. We'll explain why it was called Shar Yechanya soon. Shar HaKarban, there was the gate where they would bring the karbanos, that they normally shechted karbanos in the north. Shar Hanashim, the gate where women would go through to do the smicha, to lean on the carbon when they would bring the carbon. Part of the process was that the woman would lean on the carbon. And to those that say the women didn't lean on the carbon, at least, excuse me, they would go through that gate to stand next to the carbon when the carbon was brought for them. La Moda al Karbanam, to stand by the carbon. Shar Hashir, the gate of this shir, of praise, of song. Through there, they would bring in all the clay shir, the musical instruments. And now we're going back to Yechanya. Yechanya. Why was it called the Shar Yechanya? So the Mishnah answers, Shebo Yasa Yechanya Begalusai. Yechanya entered the Beis HaMikdash to do his bowings, Lishtachavos, to do his bowings, and he left through that gate when he went into exile, to Galus, into Galus Babel. So that's why it was called after his name, Shar Yechanya. And then lastly, by Mizrach in the east, there was Shar Nikanor, the gate of Nikanor. It was called Shar Nikanor because he brought these two big doors from Mitzrayim. It's a whole story. We'll learn about it later on in Masechta Yuma. It's also brought down in Masechta Sukkah that he had these doors that he brought from Mitzrayim, special doors for the Beis HaMikdash. So they called it the Shar Nikanor. Ushnei Pishpishin Hayulo, there were two small doors to it. Hayulah, there were to it, Echabi Minav, Echabasmola, one to the right, one to the left, but they're included in the big number 13. So we're not going to add them as additional doors. There were gates, but they're included in the 13. And then lastly, Ushnai and Bemeir, there were two in the west, Shloha Yushlahan, shame that they did not have a special name, because they didn't use it, you know, only a little bit they use it, to go out to the street that was behind the Beis HaMikdash, so they didn't have a name. And that concludes the 13 gates. The Yerushalmi explains that our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Abba Yossi ben Hanan, who holds that the bowings that they did were to correspond to these 13 gates, and in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why they had 13 bows. But the Chachamim say that no. There were really, there were seven gates in the Azara. And Uladaitam, what was this 13 bowings? The 13 bowings were to correspond to the 13 process, 13 breaches that the Yevanim, the Greeks, did in the Azara during the story of Hanukkah, where they did meet 13 breaches, and then the Chashmonaim, they came and they destroyed the Greeks, and they sealed up these 13 breaches. So therefore, they made a takana, an enactment that they should bow 13 breaches, you know, to correspond to this event. So it's different of opinions why they had the 13 breaches, but you know, that wraps up our Mishnah, and that wraps up our two Mishnahs for today.